Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kentco Rocks podcast. This is episode number 7, featuring Brian Soltis and myself, Brian McKeever. We're going to talk today about what it's been like for the first 2 weeks in the trenches with Kentco 8, now that it's officially released. We've had a chance to get our feet wet, dig into the code a little bit, and just today we're going to really focus on hopefully sharing our first impressions, what it's been like, what we can tell you to look out for, some tips. Brian, what do you think? How has your first few weeks been going with Kentco 8?
You know, I jumped all over it right as soon as the download was available. You know, we've had the previews for a couple months now, and you know, we've had some early editions of it, and I was really looking forward to getting the final product all together, and you know, seeing what it looked like when it was finally been polished and had all the right loading indicators and what have you. And I tell you, I wasn't disappointed. I was really happy to finally get started and actually do some real development with it. I thought they did a great job of packaging it up and really kind of cleaning up nearly every bit of the UI. And it's, I mean, you and I know we've used what, version 3.3.1?
Yeah.
It's been a long road to here. And not that the previous versions weren't good. It's just, you know, I was really glad to see the UI evolve with really the way most things are being designed now, you know, on a modular and even, you know, dare I say, a touch-centric interface for even Kentco. It's just a really cool site to see, and I can't wait to really get some production sites going in.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because, you know, we had our last episode and we talked about things we were looking forward to with Kentco 8. And now that we've had it, those things have really come true. The new user interface is nice to use. Although it's kind of funny, since we've had it for a few weeks, I find myself really going up to the top left quite often, typing in some things as far as searching for pages or system in a slightly different way. It's rough, and I've had to catch myself a few times telling people in the office, go to CMS desk. Oh, wait, actually, no, I didn't mean that. Just go up to the top left.
You know they automatically redirect that, don't you? If you try to go to CMS desk, it will redirect you to admin.
Yeah. It's a smart move on their part.
I use that type, you know, the type search a lot, and it's really funny because I know it's actually, it reminds me of something I used to do with, you know, when Windows 8 came around and it was, you know, people tried to adopt this new way to try to get into the start menu, and they said, well, just, you know, go to the start menu and start typing, and, you know, you would find the app that you're looking for. And some people are like, wow, that's amazing. It's so cool. That was around in, like, Windows XP. Just people just didn't realize it. And I kind of thought the same thing with Kentco in some ways, is that, you know, you could actually search, you know, for settings or something. There was a search box up there that I mentioned a lot of people just didn't even realize. And they kind of took that same concept just to the whole admin in general. And so I did the exact same thing. It's so much quicker for me to type MOD instead of, you know, digging down into development and modules. You know, I can just hop right there and get it. So I did the same thing.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I find myself is having less tabs open at a time. I mean, in the old interface with 7 and 6, there was a tab or 3 for Site Manager and a tab or 3 for CMS Desk. And then you throw in another browser just for the heck of not being logged in. I've seemed to have been able to reduce the amount of tabs I have open to get things done, which is kind of nice because you're in this tool all day long. So it's been kind of nice. That's really, you know, the new user interface so far has lived up to its billing. And I find even using the new WYSIWYG editor that's built into 8, you know, for editing page content seems to be better and easier to figure out what the icons are. The media icon is much more prevalent to me than the previous version. So just working with page content in the interface seems better as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot cleaner. They kind of removed a lot of the visual elements that in a lot of ways were distracting and really unnecessary. And they kind of cleaned it up to almost a more industrial kind of look. And I think that really streamlines what people are going to use it for. I'm sure there'll be somebody that really loved the gradient blue that was in Windows 5, you know, or Kentco 5.5, but it's still.
So what else besides the interface has got you excited? I mean, what other parts have really come out of the woodwork for you?
I tell you, I'm actually going to be presenting on Kentico in 2 days for our local user group. And I did a presentation about 2 weeks ago on Kentico, actually the day, 2 days before it came out. And I was really interested in showing some stuff, but I really hadn't played around with the system enough to really get my hands, you know, really dirty with it and show what I wanted to. But lately, I've been doing the new module development, and basically it's all portal-based, and you're creating classes on the fly and being able to create data, you know, data elements, and then their info providers, and there's the underlying class that interacts with it, all right through the portal without ever actually touching the code. And that's a pretty awesome kind of functionality that I'm really glad to see that they're adding that, although I kind of like, I'm going to be sad if I don't get to be the expert on making modules and like getting to propagate that knowledge. But it's a really cool tool that I think a lot of people, once they get their hands on, they're really going to be able to expose a lot of their own functionality a lot quicker.
Yep, I totally agree. The code generation aspect of it is really impressive. You can define your object almost like it's a custom table. And there's like this just new set of functionality you get after you define that object to give you the provider and the info object of what you're doing. And it even, you know, has a new UI template for page templates that they actually call UI template that lets you build like a custom Unigrid really just by defining the module. So if you've developed the module in 7 or 6 before, for the developers listening, it was kind of like cobbling together .NET controls here and there still. It felt very developer-centric before, with you had to know the right files and the right locations and then kind of bolt on the user interface element of the database to your files, right? Well, not really anymore. It's more of a natural extension to the CMS at this point, the way I like to think of it now.
Yeah, and actually you kind of hinted at something that I thought about too, is that, you know, when you did in the past, you made these custom modules, and I would explain it to other developers. I would say, you know, a custom module is not really one thing. It's a kind of collection of functionality. It could be tables and, you know, controls and all other sorts of things that you kind of package all together. But when you made this custom stuff, you know, we're obviously making physical ASCX and ASPX pages, but you kind of had to name them the right way and in the right folder with the right structure. If you wanted, I mean, you could really put them anywhere and they'll work, but if you wanted to export them and being able to move them between installations, that was really important, you know, to make sure you did everything the right way. And whereas now with it being all basically portal and UI based, that's kind of taken away for you, and you know it's going to be exportable because you're making it right through the system, which I think that's going to simplify a lot of things for people too.
Yep. Yeah, and I know I think actually both of us are working on some custom modules. It's going to be some exciting stuff. But to be honest, there's still some hurdles, right? Like, we've had some struggles. I believe we've reached out to Kentico support, and they've helped us along the way to get these things out of there. Overall, it's just a small learning curve, but I think the power is totally worth it, as it should be if there's a new major point release with Kentico.
Gotcha. Now, how about you? What's that feature that you know that's blowing you away right now? What's the main one you're excited about?
Well, for me, something new kind of came out, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, right around the same time as launch, that wasn't really talked about too much in the milestone builds, was this new data query API methodology or pattern, if you will, for writing some API calls to Kentico's API. It's a lot more of a fluent link style, where if you wrote the code before, you know that it relied heavily on data sets, which were an old ADO.NET type convention. And you still dealt a lot with rows and converting a row to an object, or a data row, sorry. And a lot of that seems to have been reworked. And to be honest, I've read about this, and it blew me away, but I haven't really had a chance to, like, put it through its paces. I wish I had more time to do things like that, but The data query really simplifies having 10 different parameters to a method instead of having to pass your where as a null statement to get to the right overload of the parameter, which you always had to do in the 7.0 API. Now it's been simplified where you can just say get users. And if you don't pass any parameters, that's fine. Or with like a link style command or line of syntax, you can say dot where, dot query, order by, dot take or page. So it's taking the world of data sets and going into link. And it's something that, if you really want to know more, I really recommend checking out the DevNet blog post about it. You can search for Kentico 8 data query. Should be the first result. That's the best way to learn about it. We'll add a link to our blog post for this podcast as well. But I'm pretty excited about that because I don't know if you're like me, but if I have to write dot rows, dot columns one more time, I might throw up.
You know, it's that blog post, you're exactly right. I mean, if anyone's interested, that is certainly probably the best starting point. And Martin, as usual, will just blow you away with his technical prowess. It's amazing how much that guy knows. But, you know, the syntax of how you do it is certainly, you know, one of the greatest benefits. But, you know, under the hood, it's good that people understand that, you know, if you do a, you know, the user info provider.get users, it's just going to bring you back all these users, and you could pass some where conditions to it or whatever, but it's just going to bring you back everything. But with this new provider model that they have, this new data query, you actually can do paging on the database side, not on your application side. So you're not pulling back 4,000 records. You're going to pull back 25 at a time instead of, you know, so that way the data set you're working with is a lot smaller. So that means less data you're pulling from the database, and that could really have a significant impact on applications that people build.
And I think it really opens up some more unit testing possibilities, which I'm sure we could spend a whole another podcast episode talking about unit testing and who's for it, who's against it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who uses it all the time.
And I know they just put out another article on the unit testing capabilities in Kentico, which is pretty sweet, too. So.
Right, which is a good segue into something else to be aware of for when it comes to your first install of Kentico 8, right? They made a little bit of a change to the project structure. Right?
Yes, they did. I actually remember talking about that with Dominic Pinter, who's one of the product managers now for Kentico, and he kind of asked, I know he asked us both, you know, what our opinions were for, you know, the product structure, and they basically have extracted out the live folder so that you can put your own DLLs inside of there so they're not buried down inside of the bin. Which just makes a lot more sense, especially when you're building projects, and it makes it a lot more modular.
Right. And the nice thing about it is they also brought the solution file out one level, which is what MS Build wants for those of you who use continuous integration. It's a step we always have to use to take anyways to do that with our projects that we work on. But now that it's out there, it's a little time saver. And the other reason they did that was to reduce the overall number of files, I believe.
Yeah.
So that way, you know, the least amount of files makes the site compile faster, especially if you're on the website model still. It should help in that goal of compressing the overall package of Kentico to be lean and mean.
Or if you're trying to deploy to Azure and you need to package up for a cloud service, the smaller the files, the better.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, just along with the data query and the new structure, I mean, just the API changes in general, I mean, across the board, they've really streamlined a lot of them, which they've done in every upgrade. I know they'll just think, well, that actually makes a little bit more sense for, you know, this particular, you know, API to maybe be part of the CMS IO instead of, you know, off on its own tangent or being part of the user info provider or something. They've made a lot of those, so that's definitely another thing you need to think about when you're creating your new sites or you know, contemplating migrating an existing site over. Is every change of Kentico always has these API. Really, they're improvements. Some people may argue to that point, depending on how much they change their code. But they really, Kentico puts a lot of effort and thought into what they do, and they really try to make it as streamlined as they could. And I believe that they're dedicated to doing that. So it's embrace change. That's probably one of my best recommendations you can do.
Yeah, and it brings up another point too. The upgrade script or process hasn't quite been released yet. It's slated for the end of this month, I believe, but as part of that, they are implementing a new helper executable or program. We haven't even seen it yet, right? But we've seen one little preview from Martin's Twitter feed about this code execution tool that will scan your project, look for potential places where you might need to upgrade to a new using statement or namespace change, whatever you want to call it, and point that out to you. And it looks like a little code analyzer tool. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm hoping that they give us a chance to test it out here for a little bit, because I've got some pretty crazy projects that I could put that thing through its paces.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it, talked about it with some Kensco developers, and I I'm kind of like you. I don't really know what to expect yet, but I know that that's a pain point for a lot of people, and I'm really excited to see them dedicate some resource to it, and I'm really curious to see what they're going to come up with. Now, have you used the new form builder yet inside of Kensco?
Yeah, actually, I was playing around with it the other day. I can't say I've used it in anything real production-worthy at the moment, but just kind of getting my hands wet with the drag-and-drop capability that it has. One thing I did notice, though, as the developer, you know, let me step back a little bit. The intention of the form builder tool is to allow non-developers to easily build forms without having to know a lot of, you know, SQL right. conventions or names for things. And it's great for that. You can actually drag something on there, whether it's an input box, checkbox, drop down, you can click and give it a label. It's saving at each step. You don't have to remember to click save. It's more of a, you know, drag and drop form builder. But one thing to be aware of that I noticed, what that does behind the scenes is you still have the regular fields tab. And when you go inspect those fields, there's some pretty generic names. Like literally text box control 1, drop down control 1, 2, 3. So definitely still follow best practices. Give those things meaningful names. Maybe come make a pass through or who knows, maybe don't let those content editors just call it, you know, text box 1, 2, and 3. But just be aware that that's one thing I did notice I wasn't thrilled, but I don't know how else you would do it, right? You have a bunch of generic controls you drop on the page. You got to name them something.
Exactly. I kind of liken it to, you know, you'll be inside a Visual Studio with an ASPX page and you drop a text box on there. Guess what? Its name is text box 1. You know, right. You drop another one, it's text box 2. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, follow good naming practices and, you know, anytime that you have a utility that's going to make something for you, any developer worth their salt will know to go in and check things like that to make sure it's making it the way you want it to be made. You know, these tools that automate a lot of things, they save time, but they have to do it in a way that's, you know, anonymous or ambiguous to whatever it is you're working on. So if naming conventions are important, and they should be, you really got to learn to go in and check that work to make sure it's doing exactly how you want it to be structured.
Right. Right, and actually what I would recommend, and this is, you know, another good segue, that if you're really going to start out with Kensco 8, take a look at some of the demo sites and use the e-commerce site or the corporate site still. Those are kind of the two best ones, in my opinion, to get a handle on what the new user interface looks like, what the new form builder looks like, some of the newer ways of developing the UI template, page template types that are in there for modules. It's a great like test harness, if you will, to play around with the new features. And starting with that demo site, it seems like there's a great benefit to get yourself used to it before you build on it for your own custom site from the blank site template, which is usually what we do. But I like that demo site to get a handle on what's going on.
Yeah, you know, every new developer that we have, I always recommend they do the demo site just to familiarize themselves with the platform. And with version 8 being such a rewrite of the whole UI, I think it's very important that a developer does that so that they know what it is they're looking for. I mean, all the functionality is still there. It's just structured in a different way. And I think you'll save yourself a lot of time instead of struggling through creating a site from scratch and trying to figure out where all the different tabs and applications are, which as Kensco calls them. So it's definitely really important to know what it is you're getting into before you obviously take on a production site or something. So,
right, yeah, the whole applications word took me a second to get used to, too. So there's another thing to watch out for. Everything is not so much a module in the terminology anymore. It's an application. You know, add an application to the dashboard personalization for a role. That's the new terminology for all the things you're used to, right? Pages, style sheets, page templates, layouts.
Yeah.
It's just one more terminology change that 8.0 be aware of.
Right. Now, have you been asked any about the licensing in Kensco? Has anyone asked you about that?
Yeah, you know, I've had one kind of customer ask me about that. You know, is it a different model for pricing at all? Is it different from the maintenance rules? And really the answer is no. It's pretty much all the same as far as I can tell. Even the license keys themselves don't look too different in the format. You can generate your license key in the client portal just like you could before. So really, I think, double check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that the licensing pretty much stays the same.
Yeah, you know, it's, I actually love getting asked a question like that because I get to just, I get to reinforce why it's so important for clients and, you know, companies to have the maintenance agreement. And if you're not aware, you just renew that maintenance agreement, you buy your license, and that's good for a year. And then every year after that, it's roughly 30% of the license cost you pay for maintenance. And what that covers is obviously dedicated support. Support will answer your email if you write them. But you also get any upgrade that happens within that year. And with this being such a huge update and such a revamp of the whole system, it's going to be a great benefit for everyone that has their maintenance up to date. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the same thing. And you, in the client portal, you can make your 8.0 license. You can make your 7.0 license if that's what you want. And so it's really cool. I think they streamlined that process years ago, and I think it continues to be a real good solution.
Yep, I think it's a great way to do things. Well, I think that's everything we have for our first 2 weeks in the trenches with Kensco 8. Brian, if people have questions, where can they get a hold of you?
You know, they can check out the blogs, bigwizards.com/blogs, or follow me on Twitter at Brian_Soltis. And I know they can check out your blog at McBeeve.com. And you're McBeeve on Twitter as well, right?
That's right. I'm in both places, so that's the best way to get a hold of both of us, everyone. As always, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy Kensco Rocks. We're going to keep coming at you with our tips, tricks, and experiences with Kensco. And until next time, we will talk to you all later.
Sounds good. See you guys later.